Bibles with you, we'll turn to the book of Acts, chapter 23, verses 1 through 11. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou in judgment to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest? And he said, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. Then when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope of the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove together, saying, We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled apart in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring them into the castle. The night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of his precious and his eternal word. It was a happy time in Jerusalem. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests, the Levites and the temple workers were all singing and having a big old time. And you know what they were singing? He's in the jailhouse now. He's in the jailhouse now. We told him once or twice to quit preaching Christ and living right, but he's in the jailhouse now. You know why they were singing that? They finally got that Paul. He had been out preaching and healing the sick and raising the dead. He had been converting people by the hundreds and thousands. He had traveled over most of the known world and the civilized world at that time. And they despised Paul. They despised what he did. They despised his Lord. And they despised him. Now, the high priest was a very evil man. That's a terrible thing to say. That's like saying the pastor of the church is a terribly evil man. The high priest is, well, he's like the Pope in that day and time. He's the highest, most elaborate, most celebrated religious person in the world, really. And he's sitting on his throne, literally, in Jerusalem. He's ruling the synagogues. He's ruling the temple. But he's mean. He's spiteful. He'll do anything to keep his job and be number one. And he's greedy. He takes the tithes from the Levites. He has caused the merchandise to be in the house of God. He's selling religion at a great price. He might have been a televangelist or something. I don't know if they'd had television. But he's evil. So the high priest is happy. Everybody's happy. His cohorts are happy. They finally put Paul in a jail. He can't get out of. They finally got him and they're going to kill him. They have every intention of killing him. Now, Paul is a faithful witness for God. He has been preaching for 25 years now. He has traveled all over Asia Minor, all over Palestine, all over Macedonia and Greece, and has his heart set to go to Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire, and to preach the gospel in Rome. He has his mind set to go to a place called Tarsus, and that's Spain. He has his heart set that he's going to cover all of that civilized world around the Mediterranean Sea. And he is a faithful, beloved servant of God. How many people do you wonder in 25 years of ministry the Apostle Paul has prayed for? Wonder how many people has heard him preach. Wonder how many cities he's visited. Wonder how many heads he's put his hand on are anointed with oil. Or how many people they took the scarf from his head or the handkerchief from his pocket that had his sweat on it to him and prayed over them, and miracles and signs and wonders were done. We don't begin to know any more than we know how many miracles Christ performed, how many God performed through Paul, do we? We know the dead were raised more than once. We know he was delivered from shipwreck. We know he had been stoned to death in Lystra. He had been dragged out of the city at Corinth. He had been rejected by the Jews everywhere he went. He had been rejected by the high priest. But his ministry was a success. You could not say anything else. It was a booming, glorious, wonderful success. He had done wonderful things. God had done wonderful things through him. And, you know, here he is. He's getting to be an old man now. Well, how old? I don't know, 55, 60. He's getting up in years. And he's been faithful to God and done God's work. And now he's alone. He's sitting in the jailhouse. And that's why the high priests are singing. That's why the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Levites, all of the people that are in power in Rome, in Jerusalem, that's why they're singing. They have convinced themselves and the people, and they convinced the Roman powers that he needs to be in jail. Get that man off the street. Get that man out of the temple. Get that man away from the public. Put him away where he can't reach anybody. Put him away where he can't touch anything. Put him away where nobody's going to hear about this Jesus that he keeps preaching, and get rid of him. So Paul, if you were counting his stock, it would be down this morning, wouldn't it? I mean, he's a human being. He's got to feel bad. I mean, all of this that he's done, and he feels unappreciated. He feels like no one cares what's happened to him. And let me tell you, say, well, they sure did him wrong. There's no record at this time. This is at this Paul's last visit to Jerusalem. He's on his way to Rome. There's no record that the church in Jerusalem ever helped him when he was in jail. Now, when Peter was in jail 25 years earlier, when this first started, all this church business started, when Peter was in jail, they had a prayer meeting for him in Jerusalem till the house was shook, didn't they? And God sent an earthquake and an angel and delivered Peter out of the jailhouse and set him free. Wonderful things happened, and the church just got right behind Peter, and the church just got together and supported him. But Paul goes up from all of his missionary journeys, tells the church in Jerusalem what God's been doing through him and how many people have been saved and healed and all those things. And you know what? When the chips are down and he gets arrested and taken to jail, they don't go see him. There's no record they ever did anything. A jailhouse has to be a lonely place, particularly a jailhouse in that day and time. In our day and time, they got showers and indoor plumbing. They have good food. They have medical benefits. They have all kinds of things. Not in that day and time. In that day and time, it was a stinking, rotten prison with rats and vermin and mice and creepy crawlies going all over the floor and eating swill and whatever they had to feed them. It was terrible. And sitting alone, solitary confinement. Can you imagine how lonely he felt? Waiting for somebody to visit him. Waiting for somebody from the church to come and say, we're having a prayer meeting tonight and we're going to pray you out of here. He don't hear anything. He's sitting alone in the prison and no one has stood up for him. Later on, he said, all Asia forsook me. When I was at my first trial in Rome, he said, nobody came and stood up with me. That has to feel bad. Do you know what it's like to feel alone? Do you know how hard it is to be alone and feel lonely and feel deserted and feel unappreciated? This is where Paul is. And I have to tell you, as a minister, this is a lonely place right here. Do you realize that? This is a lonely place right here. And this is a hard place to stand. And he's been doing this for 25 years. And so there he is. And he's rejected by the very people that he came to help. The people in Jerusalem, the people that he cared about. Paul cared about his nation and his people as much as anybody ever cared about their people. How much did he care? Enough that he was willing for if the God would save the whole Jewish nation and all the people, he was willing to be accursed himself. He was willing to be lost himself to save his nation. Now, that's love. That's patriotism. And yet, he sits alone in a prison, rejected and refused by his own people. How hard that is. Now, I don't know about you. I don't like rejection. I don't like to be rejected. I can't stand it if people misunderstand me or hurt by something I've done. I want to make it right. I want to get it right. I want to call them or go see them or write them a letter or send them a gift or do anything because I cannot stand to hurt somebody. And yet he finds himself alone and rejected and misunderstood. Misunderstood. That's hard. Isn't it tough when you do the best you can? When you've tried as hard as you can try? When you've given all you could give and you really mean the best and people think something evil of you? People say something ugly about you? Isn't that hard? Don't you find that tough? I find it very tough. We just went through that a while back. You know, I hear people say sometimes to me, they'll say, we never hear nothing about you, Brother Eddie. And they said, people always give you good news. Well, I'm thankful they do. But I have to tell you, folks, it's not always good things people say. It's not always good things that come up because people say things, well, they'll say I've done things or said things. I don't know anything about it. You say, why are you saying that? Because Paul is in one of those situations of being misunderstood. He does not want to tear the law down. He does not want to destroy the temple. He does not want to destroy the people of God in Israel. He has been so misunderstood. People have misunderstood who he is and lied on him. How often those people lied on Paul. From city to city, place to place, they would tell stories that were not true. And in Jerusalem, it was worse than any place else. How they lied on him this time, how they talked about him, said he brought Gentiles in and put them in the temple and all those kind of things. None of it was true. They didn't investigate to find out who Timothy and Titus were. They didn't investigate to find out what he was doing. They just talked about it. Now, they hired a professional liar. They say, are there professional liars? Yeah, I've met some of them. Haven't you met some professional liars? Well, this guy is an orator. He's like a lawyer. He's a mouthpiece. They actually hired at this time a man to come because he could speak so well, because he could say it so good and tell the lies for them. They hired him to come and put Paul down. So we find Paul in prison, alone, rejected, refused, misunderstood, lied upon, and hated. People literally hated him. Fact is, the scripture I just read, did you listen to that? They would have torn him apart piece by piece. They were tearing him apart. They were destroying him, literally, physically. What a horrible thing. 40 men, no less, took a vow not to eat or to drink anything until what? They had killed Paul. Now you talk about hatred. You talk about hatred. 40 men have taken a vow not to eat or to drink till they have killed him. There was no less than 470 Roman guards guarding him. They moved him from Jerusalem to Caesarea, and it took 470 guards to guard him, to keep him from being killed. And all of this, alone, rejected, misunderstood, refused, lied upon and hated, all of this after 25 years of faithful witnessing and serving God. How hard that must have been for Paul. How tough that must have been to feel that kind of thing after all that he had done. Now, you say, well, they're singing their songs now. They got him in the jailhouse. That'll be the end of Paul. Let me tell you something. There's a song that says, you can lock me up in the prison and you can throw away the key. What's the rest of it, Lucille? But I can still go free. Remember that song? They could lock me up in a prison, and they did. They could throw away the key, 470 guards standing around him. But he could, let me tell you something. There's not a prison that you've ever been in, not a situation you've ever been in, that God cannot deliver you out of it and give you victory over it. Now, let me tell you something. God does not have to do this, but he did do it. For Peter and for Paul both, they both experienced being in prison, and they both experienced the stocks falling off of their hands and the prison bars open and the ground shaking with the power of God as God delivered them. You say, see, God can do it. Yes, God can do it, but he doesn't always do it this way, that way. This time, Paul is in prison. Paul is in this terrible situation. They're determined to kill him. They're trying their best to kill him. And you know what? In the midnight hours, when he's sitting there praying by himself, when he's in there and no one else is coming to see him, no one's taking anything to him, no one's doing anything to help him get out, everybody's against him, even hiring professional people to get rid of him. And you know what? In the midst of that prison, I love this scripture. I love it. You know what it says? The Lord came and stood by. Isn't that great? Nobody else came. Nobody else seemed to care. It didn't look like that anybody else was paying any attention. But the Lord came and stood by him. Oh, my friend, when the storms of life are raging, the old hymn says, stand by me. Stand by me, O Lord, stand by me. And my brothers and sisters, he was locked inside the prison, tightly behind a whole contingent of professional Roman soldiers who were trained killers, to tell you the truth. And yet, in the midst of all of that, in the midst of the darkness and the gloominess of that sadness of that moment, when it looked like he was defeated, when they were up in Jerusalem singing, he's in the jailhouse now, when the high priest and all the people were just rejoicing, got that Paul in jail now, the next night, the Lord came and stood by him. Oh, my friend, in the midnight hours, he can come and he can stand by you. In the times when it looks like you can't lift your head above the waters and you're going to drown, he can come and stand by you. When it looks like there's no way and no one can make a way, when it looks like it's just an impossible situation, my friend, the Lord can stand by you. Paul was familiar with this happening. You see, in Acts 22, when he was in the temple another time and they would have killed him that time, the Lord came and stood by him. When he was at Corinth and he was ready to leave and just give up on Corinth, the Lord came and stood by him. Later in Acts 29, when he was in the storm on the Mediterranean Sea and the ship was going down and everything it looks like was lost, he stood up and told the people of the ship, said, "Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Here, take something and eat it and get strong." And you say, "Well, man, the ship's going down." He said, "The ship's going down, but in the night, an angel of the Lord came and stood by me and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, because not one soul is going to be lost on this ship. I'm going to save everybody for your sake.'" My friend, God never fails. During his trial at Rome, he talks about it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he talks about how he was deserted and what a hard place he was in to be in trial before Nero in Rome. And the Lord came and stood by him. You see, the Lord came with a message. And what was the message? Be of good cheer. What does that mean? Take courage, Paul. Take courage, Paul. You know why? Because you've been my witness. He says, if you have witnessed for me here, he's commending him. You say the Apostle Paul was perfect? No, he wasn't. You say the Apostle Paul never made a mistake? Oh, yes, he did. The Apostle Paul was a human being, but he was a faithful witness for God. He was a faithful servant of the Lord. And he said, as you have been my witnesses here and in Jerusalem, you're also going to be my witness in Rome. You see, Paul's desire and Paul's vision was to go to Rome and preach the gospel in the capital of the world. You know, sometimes us people, we're so country-minded. I don't particularly want to be in a city. Maybe you do, but I don't particularly want to be in a city. I don't particularly want to be in the middle of that many people and that much hubbub and that much going on. I'd much rather be on a country road or on a path through the woods or something. I'd much rather be doing that. But the Apostle Paul had a vision, and he would go to the principal cities, to Ephesus, to Athens, to Corinth, to the principal cities, and start a church and preach to the people. And then it would spread as people came in and out of the city. The gospel would spread and people would spread it, you know, out to them. So he says, you've been my witness, faithful. And now I'm going to let your dream come true. You're going to Rome. And you know what? Paul went to Rome and he preached. Oh, by the way, this prison he was in Caesarea when this happened, he was in there 2 years. Waiting for his trial to come up. He was in that prison house 2 years waiting for the time to come that he could plead his case. And when he did, he asked to go before Caesar. And at Rome's expense, they put Paul on a ship and they delivered him to Rome. And he was acquitted. He was twice taken to Rome, twice stood before Caesar. The first time, they let him go. We believe he went to Spain and preached. We believe he went to southern France and preached and spread the gospel to the western part of the Mediterranean. We have ever kind of evidence to believe that. But my friends, he wanted to preach in Rome, and he came back and ultimately they beheaded him in Rome. You see, Satan's aim was to kill the Apostle Paul. If you think Satan's playing games with you, my friend, he's not. Satan is dead serious about taking your life away. Satan wants to destroy you. Jesus said that Satan was the thief that came to steal, kill, and destroy. And my brothers and sisters, he came. Paul had not been saved a week. He had not been saved any time till they had to lower him in a basket out of a window in a wall in Damascus to get him out so they wouldn't kill him. Everywhere he went, they did their best to kill the Apostle Paul. Satan is not playing mumbly peg or checkers with you. My friend, Satan is dead serious about destroying everything about you, Christian, that he can possibly destroy. And he started on the Apostle Paul, and everywhere he went, they threw rocks at him. They tried to throw him over cliffs. They treated him terribly. And in Lystra, they actually did stone him to death and threw him out of the city for dead. And the saints came and gathered around him to take his body to the cemetery and bury it. And the spirit came back in him and he got up and walked away. That's when he talked about it 14 years later. And he said, I knew a man 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, talking about himself. But he said he was carried up to the third heaven and saw things that could not be told in this world. Wow. You see, Satan was against Paul. Satan tried to destroy Paul. He was lied on. He was rejected. He was refused. He was alone. He was destitute. He did without. He was in danger in the country, in danger in the city. He was in danger everywhere he went. And he came so close to dying so many times, Satan thought he had him, and this time he was sure with 407 Roman guards around him, 70 Roman guards around him. With all of that going on, he was just sure that he had Paul down where he could never get out. Do you realize where Paul was when he wrote the letters to Corinth and Ephesians and all of those places? He was in jail. He had time to write. And that writing, my friend, is the biggest part of the New Testament. That writing that he wrote from jail, we would not have had if he'd just been out free. Because if he wanted to preach at Corinth, he would have gone to Corinth. He wanted to preach in Ephesus, he'd gone to Ephesus. But my friend, he had to write. And the Holy Ghost inspired him to write. And the Spirit of God was on him to write. And Satan could not do that. He was locked in a prison. The door was shut. The guards were set. But in that prison, Jesus Christ came and stood by him. Paul could believe that what Jesus said when he said, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." He could believe what Jesus said when he said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Wow. Hallelujah. You say, Jesus said that? Yes. And yet sometimes we pray, and maybe you've prayed this, I've prayed this. Have you ever felt like you were out alone someplace? Have you ever felt like you were locked up and couldn't get free? Have you ever felt like nobody really cared about what all you had done and how hard you had tried and everything that you had done was to no avail? Did you ever feel that way? It's a common human thing, to tell you the truth. Jesus will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He'll be with you in whatever prison you're in. And there's no key, no door lock so strong, no palace or jailhouse or our castle so strong that Jesus Christ cannot come inside of that place and visit you. I get letters from people in the mail, who are listening to me preach on the radio. They're in jail, they're in prison, they're in the penitentiary. And people write me letters and tell me how the Lord has touched them there. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? They do something bad. They do something horrible. They get put in jail. They're in there with all kinds of other people that's done all kinds of bad things. And yet they sit and turn on some little radio station in Pulaski or Roanoke or Giles County, and they hear, or maybe on the internet, and they hear the voice of a preacher preaching, and the Holy Spirit touches their hearts and goes down into their souls. My brothers and sisters, God will visit the prison house. God will visit the prisoner in the house of incarceration. My brothers and sisters, He will never leave you or forsake you. And don't say, well, I'm not the Apostle Paul. The promises are not just to the Apostle Paul. The promises are to you. The promise of God's Spirit is to you and to your children and to them that are far off and all that the Lord our God shall call. My friend, yes, He can shake down the prison house. He can jar open the doors. He can break off the shackles on your hands. But He can visit you in the prison house. And blessed thought. He sure did while he was a prisoner. He preached. Fact is, being a prisoner allowed him to preach to kings and ultimately to Caesar. If Paul had gone to Rome, think about this. If Paul had gone to Rome and gone down and rented a big hall and said, we're going to have a gospel meeting, we're going to have a revival, he could have advertised it, put signs all around town. Do you think Caesar would have gone? Well, no. He wouldn't have been going to the gospel meeting. But by Paul coming and standing before him in his chains, he got to spread the word. And if you read carefully, there were people in Caesar's household, people in the high priest household, people in the Sanhedrin who heard the gospel that Paul preached to them as a prisoner. Amen. And sometimes some of the greatest witnesses you can give is from your hospital bed. Caught Wally doing that, Rhonda, witnessing to a nurse, went in and he was so sick and he was so bad. And there was a little nurse there and he said, called her by name, and he said, I don't want you to leave this world and not be ready to meet God. Wow. I said, Wally, you're doing good. You're doing good. And he said, and here's the preacher. He pointed her right in the way and said, here's the preacher. And he was spending his time telling people, David, you've had the opportunity to do that. Yeah.
Oh, since my first day, I didn't even know what I was saying. I was witnessing, I was right on the board. Mm-hmm. So I've been trekking before. And on that board, you wouldn't believe the nurses.
That's right.
And there's two that were bad.
Praise God. And see, you can't lock up the Holy Ghost. You can't lock anybody out of the presence of God. There's no prison that can lock you out from the presence of God. He will come and stand by you. He will never forsake you or leave you. He will be with you always, even to the end of the world. Father, thank you today for the opportunity to share the message of the gospel. Thank you, Father, that we have the opportunity on this nasty, snowy, cold day. Thank you, Father, that we have the opportunity to come to the house of God. And Lord, to bring the message of the gospel. Thank you that we can project it on radio and on the internet. Thank you that we can project it out to the world around us. That Jesus saves, that Jesus cares, that He will enter into the prison house. And He will set us free. Father, I pray that this message will touch our hearts today. I pray that this message will touch our souls and deliver us from the power of Satan, Father, and give us the freedom and the opportunity to be the witnesses you'd have us to be. And Lord, if there's one among us here today who would not be saved, would you save that one? If he's backslidden, Father, would you bring him back? If he's a Christian, would you encourage him? Father, I pray now your blessings will be with us on all who hear the word of God, that we can draw near to you, that you may draw near to us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.